While the prisoners of Cabanatuan haltingly made their way to safety, Juan Pajota was engaged in the fight of his life near the Cabu River Bridge. As the American guerrilla leader Robert Laffam would write, it was Pajota's finest hour. The shooting had commenced only a few seconds after Murphy fired the initial volley at the rear of the compound. The Filipinos caught the Imperial troops at the precise moment of the day when they had most injudiciously let down their guard. Having eaten their suppers, they'd been lounging around their doused campfires, enjoying the afterglow of sunset. As Pajota's men began to take aim, they could hear the Japanese laughter, the lilt of their conversation. The beads of 200 rifles leveled on individual Japanese soldiers. Once the Filipinos heard the stutter of Murphy's F Company, more than a mile distant, they let loose. They fired with a hatred and a vengeance that had steeped in 3 years of mostly unexpressed resentments. For the Rangers, the killing was a necessary and perhaps momentarily enjoyable, but not especially gratifying aspect of the mission. For the Filipinos, it was personal, tribal, national. They considered it a blessing of fate, long overdue, to strike back at the invaders with all they could bring to bear. At first, the Japanese withered. They were utterly taken by surprise. It was several minutes before they could muster even a tepid response. Just as they were trying to launch their first sortie over the Cabu Bridge, the ponderous log structure was torn asunder by a terrific explosion. The time bomb, secreted beneath the span, had detonated on schedule. When the dust cleared, however, Pajota's scouts discovered with some alarm that although the overpass was now pitted with a gaping bomb crater, the blast had destroyed only a portion of the bridge. As Pajota later told historian Forrest Johnson, the damage appeared sufficient enough to stymie any tanks or other armored vehicles that might attempt to pass over, but the Japanese foot soldiers could still step around the ragged fissure and race across the bridge. This is precisely what they tried to do. Approximately 50 Imperial Army soldiers gathered on the bridge and mounted a charge, chanting weird incantations, as the official Ranger report would describe their deafening banzai cries. But Pajota's men, spread out in a great V athwart the highway, were ideally positioned for the ambush. They had set a snare of wicked simplicity. By concentrating their fire directly on the bridge, they were sure to catch the onrushing enemy. The first barrage lasted no more than 30 seconds. To the last man, the Japanese were cut down by the enfilading fire. The Japanese commander, Tomeo Oyabu, responded with bold obtuseness by sending another wave of men over the bridge. When they too were sawed down, he dispatched a third and a fourth, each squad sending up spirited battle cries before meeting certain death. As Colonel Musi would tell the New York Times, "Those Japs kept coming and the guerrillas kept mowing them down until their bodies were three deep." The Japanese continued to expend themselves. On and on it went for a half hour, a scene of revolting carnage with bodies piling up by the hundreds. "They will keep coming," Captain Pajota predicted to one of his lieutenants. "They know no other way." Many of the corpses fell through the bomb crater and plunged into the river, while others ended up draped in queer postures over the supporting timbers beneath. As they raced across the bridge, the Japanese had to climb over the bodies of their comrades. The Filipinos didn't comprehend the Japanese battle zeal, which seemed to be composed in equal parts of superhuman courage and an obedience of extraordinary self-abasement. At one point, a small group of Japanese soldiers attempted a flank attack, but the guerrillas quickly detected it and obliterated them. The Japanese failure to find an alternate route across the river was inexplicable. Their kamikaze charge was a chilling spectacle to watch, but Pajota's face, lit by the flames of the siege, creased with a barely perceptible smile.